Good morning. Thank you so much for your attendance here this morning as we gather to worship God. You know, when you, I don't know how many of you watch college football. Yesterday was kind of a big day for college football, but you know, sometimes programs are criticized for different things, and I have often heard criticisms of certain programs with a big name that can recruit really high quality talent out of high school, five-star athletes and such, to fill the roster. But then once they get there, they stay as good as they were when they first got there, rather than growing and getting better every year. And they talk about teams that are able to recruit well, but they don't develop the talent very much. You know, it's a, they get there and the development is lacking. And so you might have a very talented freshman, but when he's a senior and he's just as talented as a freshman, that's a problem, right? You should get better each and every year and every offseason and all of that. That's a problem sometimes. They can affect a college football team or a basketball team, or even if you take it outside the realm of sports, it can affect all sorts of areas of life. You hire someone for a new position, and you teach them what to do, and they're there for 5 years, 10 years, and they haven't improved. They haven't learned new skills. They haven't moved up. I think that same thing can happen with us as Christians sometimes. We can become Christians, and we can enter into the church and be added to the Lord's church, and we can show up to worship. But we can actually notice that year after year after year, we actually don't find ourselves growing closer to God. We don't find ourselves serving in new ways. We don't find ourselves able to do now more than we could before. We don't find ourselves better at resisting sin. Sometimes we can become Christians, and then it just seems like we're twiddling our thumbs, waiting for judgment, just hoping to not be lost, and then hopefully that day will come and we'll get to go to heaven, as if the whole call of Christianity is to don't mess up until you get to heaven. And what I'm going to suggest is, in the Bible, that's absolutely not the call of Christianity, and that's not the mission. The mission isn't just simply don't mess up until you get to heaven. You're called to grow. You're called to do more in the future than you are doing now, and to do more now than you did in the past. You're called to become more holy, more conformed to the image of Christ, where you look more like him throughout your life. You're called to serve in newer and better ways, to where your faith isn't something passive. Your faith isn't something that is just something that exists in name only, but it actually takes over your life, your decision-making, who you are and your identity. One of the things that I love about this church here at Maryville is I think we take the idea of spiritual growth very seriously. Last week, we started a series of lessons talking about our mission statement. And I don't know if you know this, we have a mission statement. And it's often on the board, and you can find it online. You can find it often in our bulletin. And it emphasizes the areas of church growth and service that we have particular interest in and that we really want to emphasize as a congregation. Last week, we talked about the idea of evangelism. This week, we're going to talk about spiritual growth. I want to read the mission statement to you, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Here is the mission statement of the Maryville Church of Christ: to fulfill the Great Commission by teaching the gospel to the lost. And that's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to move on to the next phrase, which says, to encourage a never-ending spiritual growth in God's children. And then next week, we'll talk about this last part, which is to hold steadfastly to the Bible, which we affirm is the inerrant and inspired word of God. And so this week, we're going to talk about the idea of a never-ending spiritual growth. And I love that idea of never-ending because on the one hand, yes, we should grow as Christians, but we should actually grow as Christians and never reach a time where we say, okay, I have arrived. No new challenges for me. No new growth for me. I am where I want to be. You could be a Christian for 60 years and we're still going to encourage growth. You could be a Christian for 60 years and you're still called to continue to serve the kingdom. It might be transformed in the way that you do that. It might not, your service and growth might not always look the same, but growth is something that we strive to be a never-ending process in the life of a disciple. And so we're going to talk a little bit in the sermon today about what are some ways that we can grow as Christians. Do you ever feel yourself, like we talked about earlier, stagnant in your faith? Feel yourself just doing the same thing you've always done? Well, we're going to talk about some ways that we can maybe snap out of that and wake up and get active and get involved and grow in our faith and in our walk with Christ. There's a lot of reasons to do that. If you have your Bibles, we actually just read it a moment ago, but in Colossians chapter 2, I love this passage. The church at Colossae seems to be under attack, a philosophical attack, an ideological attack. There are ideas swirling around the church that are confusing an awful lot of people. And one of the benefits of spiritual growth, and I really think this is true, is the more you grow spiritually and the more mature you are in your faith, some of the things that are major attacks and some of the things that really can harm your faith, you grow more resistant to those things. I think the church in Colossae, Paul is wanting to see some growth in them so that they aren't constantly tossed to and fro by these ideas that have entered in. They're able to remain convicted and confident in that which they've already committed themselves to. And they're not always spending their time second-guessing their first choice, but they are growing in that they are being deeply rooted and they're being established in their faith so that they're pressing on to other things. This is an idea that's not just in Colossians. You see it in Hebrews. You see it in other passages as well. Like, the more that you grow, there will always be challenges, to be sure. There will always be conflicts that arise. There will always be obstacles to overcome. But the stronger you are in your faith, it's not always striving to overcome that initial decision, should I be a Christian or not? Or is Christ truly the way? And things like that. But you're able to move on beyond some of those initial questions that sometimes plague at us. But Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, he reminds the church, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So he actually does remind them of that moment they received Christ and became Christians. Like, you've done that already, and you did that with an openness and a willingness to give your life to Christ. Well, if you've done that already, continue to walk in that decision or to live in that decision. Don't always go back to that decision. Move on from that decision. Walk and live in that decision and grow from that decision. The next thing he says in verse 7 is, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. So it's like the idea of firmly rooted is you're not moving away from this thing. You've made a commitment, you're sticking to it, and you're actually going to get some roots that'll hold you in place in your faith, some buy-in and some commitment, and that which will ground you and keep you where you need to be, keep you from being moved. He says, then being built up. Not only do you want your roots to be strong, but you want to grow. I don't know how many of you have ever been to like a Sequoia National Park or a Redwood National Park. Some of these trees are incredible. The size and the mass. And one of the things that's really incredible about them is the root structure underneath that you can't even see, but that they are combined with one another to help provide a strong and sturdy foundation. So these trees can grow for like literally thousands of years. And so there's some incredible things when you think about like being rooted and growing that you see in nature and that you see in the world around us. Well, you should see that in us also. You should see it in the church also. He says, not only should you grow and be built up in him, but established in your faith, just as you were instructed. And then he concludes it with that, the idea of overflowing with gratitude. I'll say this, if you're looking for a disposition that will facilitate growth in your life, gratitude is going to be really hard to beat. Be grateful for the church. Be grateful for what Christ has done. Be grateful for the sacrifice of Christ. Be grateful for the hope of heaven. Be grateful for the relationships and the communion that you have with one another. Be grateful for the other people in the church who are serving in a lot of ways and doing positive things for the kingdom. There is so much good that you could focus on. And if you do, and if you're truly grateful for those things, that will be one of the key ingredients to facilitating and fostering growth in your life. So this is a passage that I think is a great encouragement to not just become a Christian, be stagnant, stay where you are, twiddle your thumbs, wait for resurrection or wait for heaven. But no, it says you are called to something better than that. Our theme for the year, you are created for action. We need to be active in our faith response to God, active in our lives. Now, how do you grow? Well, there's a sense in which the Holy Spirit is in charge of that. The Holy Spirit brings growth. God brings growth. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I think we should carry that idea with us and put our hope and our trust in that. Growth is something that comes from God. Growth is something that the Holy Spirit produces. However, I'll say this. The Holy Spirit does not call us to be passive in this process. The Holy Spirit works through us and works through the opportunities that we have and works through the things that we do. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can resist the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. Those are all ideas that are right there in the Bible. In fact, you're told not to do that. One of the things that you should, if you want to grow, do is be open to the movement of the Spirit and be open to the growth that the Holy Spirit can provide. Be open to it and actively seek it. Don't always put other things in front of growth. Don't put other things in front of ways that you can be active. I want to give just some very simple ideas and tips that have been tried and true and proven throughout the history of Christianity. You can find them in the Bible, and you can find faithful Christians who have grown throughout their lives have done these things. And they're things that I want to encourage you to do. Number one, show up. Show up. It is going to be really hard to grow as a Christian and grow in the church if you're not there. I understand we live busy lives, and I understand there's all sorts of different conflicts in our schedule, and I understand there are things that we have to put in front of other things sometimes, and I also understand you won't be at everything. I get that. We do a lot of stuff. No one can be at everything. As a matter of fact, we're a whole body of believers. No one's expected to be at everything all of the time. We want to provide opportunities. We want to invite people to come. But I'll say this. If there is a conflict, how often does church win? If there's a conflict, how often do you sacrifice something else so that you could be, so that you can prioritize the kingdom and prioritize showing up and prioritize growth? If we constantly tell ourselves, yeah, church is great, but anytime there's something else on my schedule, God's gracious and he'll understand. He can take the back seat and I'll prioritize this other thing. Then I think we're going to get complacent with the idea that actually church isn't the most important thing. Actually, we live a whole world full of like real things that matter, and then there's this kind of church thing. And you don't be surprised if that's your attitude and if that's your priority, year after year passes and you don't feel yourself growing closer to God. There are a lot of things that happen when you are gathered together with people. I believe the Holy Spirit indwells us, yes, individually as people. But you know what 1 Corinthians 3 says? He indwells us collectively as a body also. Like when you forego opportunities to gather with the Spirit-filled people of God, then don't be surprised if growth is harder to come by. You have to be open to it by being present. And so one thing I would encourage you to do, it's the simplest thing I can say at this point, but just show up and be present for opportunities for growth at the church and with the kingdom. Number two, build relationships. One of the best things you can do to grow spiritually is be around people who are growing spiritually and learn from them and encourage them and be encouraged by them and join with them in things. Have spiritual conversations with people. Grow in your study of the Bible with people. Pray with people. Have meals with people. But all of the things where we actually build relationships with one another, people don't usually go to church because everything is perfect there. You know, that's true. People don't usually go to church because every ministry is blazing on fire and is incredible and is changing the world. Most churches, there are strengths and there are weaknesses and there are flaws and there are some things that I think are really meaningful and there are some things that maybe could use a lot of work. And it's a constant process and there is growth, but it's not always linear. And like, there's all of that stuff that takes place. But do you know why people often go? It's because they have found a community of people that they genuinely love and that they grow in the Lord with. I've used the illustration before, and to me, it's a good one. Maybe you don't think so, but I think of Thanksgiving dinner, and I think of gathering together with your family, and you know what? If everyone brings a different dish, some people are better cooks than others. Sometimes this might be a little bit dry, or this might be a little too wet, or this might not have the right heat or temperature or consistency. And you know what happens? You eat. You enjoy some things more than the other things, but you also recognize that this is not simply about what I enjoy. I am here with the people that I love. I am here with family. Even sometimes that people who you don't get along with quite so well, I'm here with family because I have a commitment to these people. And I think if you had the mindset that, all right, I showed up at Thanksgiving, but the turkey was dry, so I'm out of here and I'm finding a new family. That's not a good way to actually foster a relationship that is meaningful and will last for years to come, right? I think if you go to a church and all you do is you look for what the church can do for me or what ministry or what thing the church is doing, the church is more important than just the things that you can find there. The people is the church. Like, build relationships with the people and the church will matter so much more to you. Build relationships with the people in the things that the church does. You'll find more value and benefit in those things also. Like, that will help you grow in so many ways, but you gotta talk to people. You gotta show up to things, invite people over, go to things where people are having functions. Build relationships, and that's an absolute key to spiritual growth. Take ownership, number three. Take ownership of what the church is doing. Don't just look at all the things the church is offering. What are you offering? What are you doing for the church? What are you doing in service to others? Because I'll say this, being served, sometimes we're in need of that, and there's nothing at all wrong with accepting that and enjoying that and being thankful and grateful for that. But there is also a tremendous amount of spiritual growth that can be found in serving, even in service, serving in areas you don't particularly like. As a matter of fact, that might be some of the most important ways to grow, is because you end up putting other people and you end up putting other things above yourself. And that's actually a really important image of what the kingdom is all about to begin with. Like, that's what the cross is all about. Like, when you serve others, you're bringing the cross of Christ with you into that. That is a way to grow in the kingdom. That is a way that you can take something and actually have your own buy-in to where this is something you care about now, something that you have a responsibility. If you don't do this, then it's not going to get done. Or if you don't do this, other people will be negatively impacted. You want to have some responsibility so that you have reason to show up, reason to serve. Take ownership of what the church does. That will be a key to growth. And then I will also say this. You should show up, you should build relationships, and you can take ownership. But those three things, you can do those anywhere for any organization, and you'll grow in that organization, right? You can show up to school, and you can build relationships at school, and you can take ownership at school, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to grow spiritually. You can do it with your job, you can do it with a club, you can do it with another group for some activity. For the church, if you want the growth to be spiritual in nature, and this is absolutely key, it all has to be about Christ, and it all has to be about a genuine love of God. When you show up, don't just do it with your fingers crossed, all right, I'm going to grow today. Do it as an act of love and devotion to God. When you build relationships with other people, do it as an act of love and devotion to God. When you take ownership and you get involved in ministry and in service, do it as an act of love and devotion to God. Make it all about God. And these things that are key and practical and important, I think you'll be amazed at how transformative they can be in how you view the world and how you view yourself. We try as a church to offer a lot of opportunities for spiritual growth. We offer Bible classes. I think we have a very knowledgeable congregation with some very skilled teachers. If you want to grow in your knowledge of God and in the Bible, go to some of the Bible classes. They are very good. And I think that you will grow in your understanding and appreciation of Scripture if you do so, and if you're open to doing so. I think when it comes to our worship services, the songs that we sing, pay attention to what you're singing. Again, it's so easy to go through the motions, to be present, yet still distant. Actually focus on what you're doing, and just the intentionality will be an important part of growth. Build fellowship with people. We've already talked about building relationships. We have Tuesday Breakfast Club. Show up at that, regardless of your age. Show up to that. It's a blessing to so many people, and it does such good, not only for the people who come, but for the people who receive encouraging cards, the people who are prayed for. You will learn more about the people in here in this congregation. You'll build better relationships. That's an opportunity you have to show up and to grow. There are so many ways that you can serve. Whether you're helping people move, we have people who do that. Service projects for people who have needs around their houses, whether it's like widows who need their lawns mowed. We have people who do that. You can get involved in that type of service project. If you're good at working with your hands, we can use that. We have a quilting ministry. If you have a skill there, we can use that. And there's tremendous of good. It was just recognized, by the way, in the city, the good that's being done by our quilting ministry. We have Grief Share, which helps people in our community who have suffered loss. They're able to come here to the building and build relationships, have scriptural foundational lessons, receive comfort in times of grief and help for how to overcome. There are so many things that we do and offer here at this church and as part of the ministries. I just named a couple, but there are a bunch. We had a ministry fair a couple of months ago where there were booths set up with all sorts of ways you can get involved. Find an area to serve and commit to it. The World English Institute, I mentioned it last week. I think evangelism is something. Obviously, it's important for teaching the lost, but it's also important for you growing closer to God as well. Take on a new challenge, teaching a Bible class. If that's something you've never done before, don't be afraid to try something new. One of the keys to spiritual growth is also patience, faithfulness, and consistency. What I mean is I just said a bunch of things, and you might think, okay, I'm going to do all of those things tomorrow, and then I'm going to be a mature Christian, and that's probably not going to happen. I'm not going to limit what the Holy Spirit can do or might do or will do, but I'll say this. Usually, Acts 2 moments where a few words are said and 3,000 people are baptized don't happen very often. Most spiritual growth comes from faithfulness and consistency over time. And what you come to find out is, hey, I have been doing this for a long time. I have been showing up. I have been building relationships. I have been getting involved. And now I am actually a stronger Christian than I once was. I do feel closer to God than I once did. I am taking on more responsibilities than I once did, and I'm growing and actually even enjoying it. So going back to a sports metaphor, a lot of times when people are learning how to play a sport, one of the keys for getting good at any sport is to master the mundane. You know, get good at the boring stuff or get good at the stuff that might not be the most exciting. Everyone wants to do a double backflip 360 slam dunk and look amazing. But if you can't make a layup, you're really going to hurt your team, right? You've got to get to where you can get good at the fundamentals, even if they're not the most exciting. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't think we should consider any of the good that we do for the kingdom to be mundane. I don't think we should consider any of it to be, unimportant. However, if you're always seeking the spiritual high of a revival that in a short period of time can shoot you through the roof spiritually and you grow, and that's, you might not find it very much. But doing what God calls you to do as a faithful Christian, day in and day out, week in and week out, saying yes to opportunities to serve, showing up, building relationships, some of the things that are just fundamental and foundational, those are the things that actually end up causing the greatest growth. The most amazing dunk in the world is still only 2 points. But if you can get good at making the easy shots, right, you can score an awful lot. I think getting good at not always chasing the high, but instead gratefully, faithfully taking advantage of what's right in front of you, I think you'll see growth in that more than you could possibly imagine, and God can use that. You can delight in the day of small things, to quote the book of Zechariah. And so there's a lot more that can be said, but as we bring our lesson to a close, here is my challenge to you. Take growth seriously. Don't just stay where you are. Find a new way to get involved. Find something new to show up to. But take a purposeful, intentional step forward in what you're doing for the kingdom, and commit to it. Stick with it and see what happens over time. The Spirit can use that. And if there's anyone here this morning who would like to become a Christian, please let that be known as well. We would love to study more with you if we have the opportunity. We would love to teach you about Christ. If there's anyone here who wants to name him as Lord, have your sins washed away in baptism, please let that be known. You can talk to one of our elders in the library in the back, or you can sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.